Welcome to the Commitment to Excellence podcast. I'm Sean Quimby. I am a licensed clinical social worker and practicing therapist with over 25 years of experience. I am bringing you the Commitment to Excellence podcast to help you and me make a commitment to excellence in any and every aspect of your life, whatever you choose, right? You might just as well be as great as you can be at whatever it is that you give your time to. In this show, we're going to talk about a variety of things. If you've listened before, you know we're going to talk about leadership. We're going to talk about psychology. We're going to talk about mental health, personal development, physical development, whatever it is that we all need to be the best that we can be. And I think all of those things come together. I'm not sure you can be the best that you can be if any of those things are completely out of balance. And I'm not sure that I would argue that you can't have some that are more in focus than others, and that may change from time to time. But the focus of this podcast is to help you be the best that you can be. I'm hoping that I'm going to be some sort of inspiration to folks, bring some examples, some information, some education, some perspective. And meanwhile, I'm helping you do this. I'm helping me do it too. This is about me being the best that I can be. And this is part of my personal and professional development. I've wanted to do this podcast for years, and I consistently and continually found reasons to not do it. But this year I decided to jump, and here we are. This is episode 21 of the Commitment to Excellence podcast. I'm very excited to have made it this far, and I am going to keep going. Thanks for joining us. So today, I want to talk about anxiety and maybe dragons. So these are two things that I've been thinking about a lot lately. The anxiety is probably a more obvious choice, given I'm a therapist, and that's potentially a mental health issue that folks struggle with, and it might make sense that I want to talk about anxiety. Dragons is a bit of a curveball, probably, but there's a couple of reasons why I've been thinking about dragons a lot lately. Number one, I just kind of think dragons are cool. So it's my show. I get to think whatever I want's cool. I think dragons are cool. But I just got done listening to a podcast, actually. The whole show was about dragons, and dragons are sort of a metaphor. The guys that host this podcast, you might want to check it out. It's called Poter, hosted by a guy named Jack Donovan and C.B. Robertson. These guys are more what I would call deep thinkers than I am, so they take the conversation to a much deeper place than I'm going to, but both what I would, I don't know if either one of them would describe themselves as modern philosophers, but that's my take on them. I've been following Jack for a long time and CB a little more recently, but it's a cool podcast if you want to check it out, but don't do that at the expense of this one. But anyway, we're just talking about dragons, and Jordan Peterson, who's one of my favorite psychologists, talks about dragons from time to time, and I was thinking about having this conversation about anxiety I feel like I've seen it out there in the world a lot. People are talking about anxiety. I just got done reading, I didn't read this study, but I read about the study they were talking about. All you have to do is be out in the world and interact with teenagers today and young adults. There is no question anxiety's on the rise. I think we can have a lot of conversations about why that is and what to do about it and how we should come at it. And the reality is there's probably not one simple reason for it. It's probably a thousand things, I think, heavily exacerbated by how we handled the COVID situation over the last few years and rise of social media and how we're parenting or not parenting our kids. Just a hodgepodge of things. And I don't know, maybe there's some environmental factors, all kinds of variables at play that I won't pretend to try to convince you that I know what they all are, but these are things that I see in the course of my day. I see them with some of the kids and families that I work with, the adults that I work with, even younger adults especially, I think. And I mean, in myself, right? Like, I experience anxiety. it's important to establish that anxiety is a normal human experience, right? We all encounter things that cause us to feel anxious. I think what the anxiety looks like for you as an individual is different from person to person, and how you experience it and, you know, how severe it is and how crippling it is it's person specific. And I think personality has a lot to do with it. I think things like trauma could have a very large impact on anxiety. I think a lack of resiliency can have a big impact on anxiety. You know what? It feels different to everybody, right? Like for me, it feels like I'm nauseous and I perseverate on topics over time. And for me, it has to be really bad for it to mess with my sleep. But I think anxiety often messes with folks' sleep significantly. When I fall asleep, I'm asleep. If I wake up close to my wake-up time and my brain has enough time to kick on before I fall back to sleep, that's a vulnerable time for me. Ears will get hot. My heart will kind of pitter-patter a little bit more. But the biggest thing, the first thing I feel is that kind of like churning in my stomach. I mean, it probably feels different for everybody, right? It might involve muscles tensing and just a feeling of overwhelmed panic. You can talk about panic attacks, and I'm not sure, I don't think I've ever experienced anything like that, but it is something, you know, when the anxiety just gets so much and it feels overwhelming and you don't feel like you can do anything with it, then it's sort of like a snowball rolling down the hill of helplessness and panic. And what it looks like is different for different people. And what you do with it, I think, is the bigger issue. And, you know, maybe that's where the dragons come in for me, just in terms of this conversation. So again, I like this, the metaphor of the dragons. It's not an original idea. Obviously, you can look in lots of places and see lots of people talking about dragons. And, you know, what is a dragon, right? It's a threat. It's a scary mythical creature. And the reality is dragons exist in the world, right? Maybe not real dragons, but threats exist in the world. And sometimes we can't see them, and sometimes we can't name them or touch them. I would argue usually we can, right? If you are a anxious person, you probably know. And if you dig deep, and you know, this is where a therapist could potentially come in and be helpful. But I think for the vast majority of people, you don't need a therapist to sort this stuff through, right? Most people don't struggle with anxiety to the point where they'd even think about it. And that's good. That's great. I don't want you to. But I think it's a dragon that we all wrestle with from time to time. And the key in any, you know, wrestling with any dragon is to identify the dragon, to know what it is, to establish a pattern. And dragons are predictable, I think, right? Like they're going to guard the gold and, you know, get the princess and torch you with the fire, right? You know what they're going to do. So identify, what are the things in your life that cause you to feel anxious or any other thing you don't want to feel? You know what they are, and most of them are predictable. Many of them are avoidable. So you have control, right? If I'm thinking about the majority of things that cause me to be anxious, I am in control of most of them, not all of them, and we'll set that aside for a minute. But most of the dragons are known. I know the things that I do that cause me to feel anxious. And they're almost always things that are either outside of my character, they're not in line with who I think I am, who I want to be. You know, I make a mistake. I do something dumb. I say a bonehead thing. This is, I wish, not a common occurrence, but, and it's way less common than it used to be, but it happens. And these things, they get me jacked up, you know, because I feel bad and I want to try to fix it. And what are the consequences going to be? And what drama is going to happen as a result of whatever it is, right? These are the things for me that cause me to feel anxious. It used to be, there was a, some year, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago, there was a staff meeting that I used to facilitate, and I did a really not good job, and I used to sort of trample on people's toe, not deliberately, not literally, obviously, but I got to the point that I was dreading that meeting. But the reason I dreaded that meeting was because of mistakes that I was making, and they were all things that I can control. And do I still make those mistakes from time to time? Sure, but not like I used to, not with the frequency that I used to, not with the intensity that I used to. So I developed a strategy and a plan for how I was going to tame that dragon. It was my own dragon. The dragon was inside me, right? I needed to figure out how to tame the dragon, and I had to identify it first. I had to want to make a change. I think if we're honest with ourselves where anxiety is concerned, the vast majority of the things in our lives that cause us the most anxiety are the direct result of our actions, our choices, our mistakes. Things we do wrong. We're out of alignment somewhere, right? Now, that's not to say that there aren't things that are outside of your control. Let's say, you know, a relationship ending. Someone that you've been in a committed relationship for a long time, you find out they're not into it anymore, or they've already left and you didn't know it. And, you know, this kind of thing, right? I can imagine that that is an incredibly anxiety-producing situation. You feel completely out of control and lost. That's not your fault, probably, although, you know, like, I think if most people take an honest look, maybe they weren't at their best in that relationship, or there were things they could have done differently. Maybe they were mistakes that they were making. Like, there's always an opportunity for ownership. And I've talked about that before. I will talk about it again. Ownership is just such a taking ownership of everything that you possibly can in your life is really the path to success, and personal, professional development is the only way you're going to do that. To control the things that you can control. And even in failed relationships, I think, you know, I've been in the same relationship for a very long time, and I'm super thankful for that. But prior to that, I had some other ones, and a couple of them ended poorly. There were plenty of things that I did wrong. Thankfully, they ended because they were not supposed to be. But yeah, I wasn't at my best, and probably there are times when I'm not at my best in my current relationship, but I want to be all the time, and I need to work on that. There are other curveballs, right, that you can get thrown. You can get a cancer diagnosis. You wake up in the morning to a phone call and one of your parents passed away. These are very anxiety-producing situations that you didn't do anything to bring upon yourself. So let's set those aside. I think those are a different kind of situation. They're not going to happen frequently. They're not anything that you can control. They're super rare. They're dragons nonetheless, and they're very scary. But, you know, I would argue that if you develop a set of skills to deal with the dragons, the anxiety, on a day-to-day basis, you're going to be fine. You will get through it. And you need to not fall into the trap of avoiding the dragons, right? That is how they get bigger and scarier. When we don't avoid them, when we don't look under the bed, right? Whatever it is that we think is under there gets worse and worse and worse. That's how phobias develop, right? People with agoraphobia, so the fear of like going outside and being in social situations. You pour gas on that very scary fire. You feed that dragon. Every time you have an opportunity to go into a social situation of some kind and you don't do it, the dragon got bigger and stronger. That is how they grow and how they get more powerful and how their legend expands across the kingdom, right? Maybe I'm getting a little out there at this point, but you got the idea, right? That's how phobias happen. You're not born scared to go outside. Maybe there's a situation that happens, or, you know, you get in a car accident and you're scared to drive or what have you, right? But if you let that stuff take over you, now, I don't know if I told this story before, but I'm going to now. So when I was in grad school, I got in a really bad car accident. Maybe I did tell this story already on the show, but I got in a really bad car accident. They had to use the jaws of life to extract me from the car, and it was, fortunately, I don't really remember any of it. It was a bad, pretty bad accident. My car was total. Fortunately, I didn't end up having to be in the hospital very long. I wasn't seriously injured. I had a pretty bad concussion and all that associated stuff. But after that, and we're delving into acute trauma here a little bit, but after that, any time I drove by the place that I was in the accident, even though I didn't remember, like I remembered up to like just before the accident. I was driving home from work one night and I stopped at a stop sign. It was a fairly bad snowstorm, and I assume that when I stopped at the stop sign, I just rolled through the stop sign. Or it was either that, or I was foolish and I thought that I could get out in front of an oncoming vehicle and, you know, maybe I just couldn't get traction. I hope that wasn't what I did, but it might have been what I did. I hope that I just slid through the stop sign. And full-size, like three-quarter ton pickup truck just T-boned me. And luckily for me, there was a plow on the pickup truck. It certainly kept me from getting hurt worse, because my car didn't wrap around the grill of a truck. The plow spread the impact across the whole length of my vehicle. It was maybe a blessing in disguise. But anyway, every time I drove by there for a while, I got like sick to my stomach. I got anxious. I got nauseous. These are, acute trauma symptoms, right? And I'm not, it's a car accident. It's not the end of the world. It wasn't for me anyway. But I found myself avoiding that place. That location was my dragon, because I didn't like how it made me feel. I felt bad every time I drove by there. And I don't know, maybe it was a blessing or a curse that I was in grad school at the time and learning about being a therapist and trauma and how you treat trauma and exposure therapy and all this stuff. And I said, at some point in time, it occurred to me that if I avoided driving past that spot, I was never going to be able to drive by it. And it was just going to keep getting worse and worse and worse. The dragon was going to have more control over me. It was going to be a scarier dragon. And I decided that I was going to take charge. I picked up my sword and my shield and I went out there and I fought that dragon, right? I drove by there every chance I got. And it sucked for a while. It was not fun. It did not feel good. But eventually it went away, because I conquered the dragon. That is how you beat your dragons, is you face them. To this day, and here we are 23, 24 years later, I cannot drive by that spot and not think about the accident. I think about it every time I go by there. But all that stuff that I felt, the like sick to my stomach, the nauseous, jittery, that kind of thing, that's gone. I don't feel it anymore because I'm in control of it. I defeated that dragon. I know, like, corny, but it's a really good example, and I don't mean to overshare about my personal stuff, although it's a podcast, and it's my podcast, and I talk about what I want, so I'm sharing. I think it's a really good example, and I'm not comparing it to being sexually abused for 10 years by you know, my uncle or anything. Trauma's trauma, though, right? And we need to be careful about how we categorize it. Maybe we shouldn't. Although I think to some degree you can, but anxiety is a symptom of stuff like that. Anxiety is a symptom of doing dumb things, like I said before. And that accident, you know, I'll take owner, like, regardless of what happened, either I slid through that stop sign or I thought I could get out in front of that pickup truck and I couldn't. Doesn't matter, right? Whose fault was that? It wasn't the guy driving the pickup truck. It was my fault. Either way, there is no way to slice that pie that it was his fault, because I was in the middle of the road and he clearly had the right of way. And, you know, like I said, I don't remember it, but it was my fault. 110% was my fault. I see value in looking for the places that we can take ownership of things, because it's the only way you're going to be able to tame the dragon, right? If I went around after that accident blaming the guy driving the pickup truck and I just stayed a victim for the rest of my life, I don't know if I could have tamed that dragon. I'm not sure, right? And not the biggest and scariest dragon in the world, because I don't have to drive by that spot much anymore. I don't live near there anymore. Every once in a while I have to go by, but I do have to talk to people at work every day, and I do have to interact with folks. And, you know, sometimes it's hard to relate to, you know, some of our staff are in their early 20s. I'm knocking on 50 at this point. They don't know the things that I know. They don't have the 25, 30 years of experience that I have. They don't have the education that I have. They certainly, with all due respect, it appears from my perspective, their skin is not as thick as mine was, probably because they're an anxious generation. And I would argue that perhaps they've been coddled a bit and whatnot, but I'm not a fan of the participation trophy generation. I don't mean to be offensive to those of you who enjoy a good participation trophy, but I think not having to play a sport and lose or not get a trophy at the end, there's a dragon that is made bigger by that out there in the world. And I'm just not of the mindset that we can eliminate all of the dragons in the world. I think that's what I'm taking a sidebar here. I think that's what we're doing. I think as a society, we're trying to create a dragon-free society. There's no such thing. So I want you and me to be prepared to conquer those dragons. You know, how do you do that? We've already talked about identifying and taking ownership of the triggers. There's a lot of strategies that can help, from as simple as just deep breathing. And that sounds really, really corny. And, you know, if you're someone like me that's not the touchy-feely type, you're like, yeah, deep breathing, that's kind of hokey. Well, it works. It works for me, and it works for anybody who gives it a legitimate try, for managing, you know, anywhere from managing an anger to anxiety, all the, like, just simply breathing. And it's probably got to do with that mind-body connection, and I don't mean to oversimplify it, but it's, at its simplest form, it's kind of a meditation sort of thing. And I like the notion of box breathing. So you basically, you inhale slowly for a 3 or 4 second count, and then you pause on the inhale for like a 2 second count, 3 second count. You pause, and then you exhale on a 3 or 4 second count. You pause before you inhale again. So in my mind, when I'm doing that, I literally picture like I'm drawing a square. Actually, I picture a rectangle because it just doesn't match up right as a square. But it's called box breathing. Super effective. It's a distraction technique. It's how your body and your mind reconnect. And you know, when I think about anxiety, that is a it's a separation to some degree, right? Where you lose some control, because what happens in your body, the things that you feel, the cues, if you will, that your body feels, they're not in your control. The parts of your brain that control fight or flight type responses take over, and you have, they're just kind of out of your control for a minute, but you can control them. And the way you can do that is with deep breathing, box breathing, whatever you want to call it, meditation, that kind of thing. Other things that have worked well for me, and I don't know if there's any research on this one, but just like throwing some cold water on your face is a really good strategy. Other folks talk about this is more of a long-term strategy, making sure that you're just generally in alignment with yourself, that you know who you want to be, and that you have a direction. I've talked before about writing out mission statements and kind of defining who you are, and if you go off course, self-correct. So increasing your self-awareness and developing a level of insight into what your triggers are, you know, what your dragons are, what are the things that come at you, that sneak up on you, that cause you to feel this way, identifying those things, and then just frankly developing a plan to avoid them, right? You can avoid creating these situations for yourself probably more often than not. So what are you going to do that? A lot of psychologists talk a lot about journaling, and I'm a fan of journaling. And again, this isn't a in the moment strategy. This is sort of a longer term strategy. I'm a fan of journaling when done in a specific way. So the research that I have seen and my experience with journaling is that journaling is great if it's done with a purpose, if it has a solution focused to it. So you're writing about what your triggers are, you're identifying those things, and you're talking about strategies, you're talking about who you want to be. What steps are you going to take to move forward? You're talking about mission statements and ingredients and directions that you have for yourself, and so that it's specific and it has a purpose. There is, with very few exceptions in my experience and my understanding of the research, is spending a lot of time writing about the past a good idea. It's not a good idea. Now there are some exceptions in the trauma world where if you're having a really hard time wrestling with stuff, writing about the trauma kind of over and over again, you can desensitize yourself to that. Usually that's something you do with a therapist and you share it with the therapist or a family member or something like that. But it's an exposure therapy thing. So that's different, right? What I'm talking about, and that could play a part. Trauma can fuel anxiety. We talked about that. That could play a part, but that's not specifically what I'm talking about. So journaling activities is a good idea. Finding places to be in service of others, looking at situations in service of others. So for me, for my examples with staff meeting, that's one of the things that I have done. I've shifted my focus, and I'm not perfect. And again, if anybody's listened to this that knows me, you've seen me not be perfect at this. But generally speaking, I view my interactions with folks professionally at work as being in service to them. I'm there to serve them, to help them get better. That makes it easy to avoid the dragons that pop up. And when they pop up from time to time, they're usually pretty small dragons and they can be wrestled with and defeated. Finding places where you can serve others, and that makes me think a lot about gratitudes. There's a previous episode where I talked about gratitude journaling specifically, so that's a very specific journaling activity, right? Like, that's why I like it. There's good research on it. It's sound, evidence-based practice. It specifically targets depression. I suspect that Well, depression and anxiety are often closely linked. Not always, but often. I would wager that gratitude journaling, although, and maybe there are studies on it and I just don't know about them. The studies that I'm familiar with are related to depression and happiness. I think if you're a more happy person, you're probably going to be a less anxious person. So I would argue that that's a valuable activity, focusing on service to others and engaging in gratitude and increasing your self-awareness around these things. So doing things that directly improve the lives of people who are in your life, people that you care about. So I'm not talking about going to volunteer at some obscure soup kitchen. Although that can be a great activity, it can be very rewarding. I'm talking about serving your family and maybe serving the people in your immediate community. You know, what can you do in your immediate community? If you live somewhere where that's a thing, then fine. But whatever you can do to serve others and have that mindset while you're doing it, right? Like, I'm serving others. I'm making the world a better place. That is a good thing. Just finding a wholehearted dedication to life, right? Like, you're just like, I'm in it, and finding a passion for things and living and being happy and healthy and productive. That's the way to be a less anxious person overall. But my focus for this is in dealing with anxiety is to identify the things in your life that cause you anxiety and develop strategies for how to avoid those situations in the first place, meaning not causing them, right? And my opinion on this is that we cause most of them ourselves. And for the ones that we don't, it turns out just completely avoiding them is usually the wrong way to go, because you're feeding the dragon, you're feeding the anxiety, you're giving it more power by not tackling it. Being able to tackle it and develop that level of resiliency is what you want to do. That is important for trauma. It's important for any issue that is triggering to you in this way. So, you know, my example, staff meetings 15 years ago. I didn't stop going to staff meeting or this particular meeting with this particular group of people. I didn't stop going to that meeting. I couldn't. I had to keep going. I had to face my fears. I had to face the dragon and try to overcome and develop some strategies for how to do that. And then for the most part, while I'm far from perfect, I did that. So I could go on about this, but I feel like I've said enough. I feel like I'm kind of trying to bounce around a little bit. So, you know, I think we all wrestle with anxiety from time to time. How we handle it increases our quality of life, decreases the amount of time that we allow anxiety to consume us and take up our energy and be that sort of dragon peering down on us from the top of the mountain, right? Like, nobody wants that. And I want you to not have to deal with that. I want me to not have to deal with it. Again, I want to be crystal clear. This is not a huge issue for me, but I've felt anxiety and I can relate to it. I know what it feels like. I know it sucks. And I can imagine, because my assumption is I'm kind of sort of in the normal range. I mean, my personality, I think, is on the continuum of anxiety. I think I'm a little further along. I know I'm a little further along than I would like to be. Way less far along than I used to be, right? I think a lot of people live further along that continuum than I do. And a lot of people don't stop and think about it as something that they can control. I suspect that a lot of people that have significant problems with anxiety feel helpless and hopeless, like you are just a victim of the circumstances, and you're not. You know, I hope most of you that are listening to this don't feel that way, but some of you do. Maybe you know somebody. Maybe they should listen. Maybe this will be helpful. Maybe this will plant a seed that somebody can nurture and water and grow. And that's my hope for you, that you identify your dragons and you defeat them. And there's obviously other dragons out there than just anxiety. But it came up for me today, just as I was been thinking about the podcast that I listened to where they were talking about dragons and just some Jordan Peterson stuff that I was checking out recently. And I looked at some, Carl Jung is one of my other favorite psychologists. I didn't find him using the word dragon anywhere, but he talks about the same sort of stuff, that there's this sense of evil out there, and that if we let it control us, it can crush us, and we don't want to let it. And that's what I want for you. And, you know, maybe anxiety is not your thing, but I want you to figure out how to conquer whatever it is that dogs you. And if it's nothing, then that's awesome. Great for you. Maybe you can help other people with that. The other thing I would say is I don't think, you know, I know I'm a therapist and I certainly don't want it to sound self-serving. I think we are, and I know I did an episode on, you know, finding a therapist a while ago. I don't think that most people need a therapist to wrestle with this stuff. I think you just need some awareness and some direction and some motivation and to understand. And that's the part that maybe people have need help with sometimes, right? But you need to deal with this stuff. If you are someone sitting at home afraid to go outside, you need to go outside. And maybe you need someone to help you fight that dragon, right? Like fighting a dragon by yourself, pretty scary thing sometimes, right? So find someone to help you. Maybe it's a therapist and that's fine. Maybe it's just a friend or a loved one, someone that cares about you. But find a fellow knight to go out there with you and fight that dragon. Probably I've beaten this metaphor with a dead horse here. So I don't want to do that, but I think it's fun. I think it's cool to talk about stuff like this. And I'm excited about the notion of, you know, being a better person and being more in line with who I want to be as a person. That's always a goal for me every single day. And I hope that if even one person listens to this and is like, you know what, I got some dragons I need to fight and I want to be the best that I can be, then that's what this is all about, right? I've said it 1,000 times or several. It's about me being the best that I can be. I'm holding myself accountable. I'm working this stuff out. I'm thinking it through, and I want to help you. And again, maybe this isn't, you know, maybe the dragons and the anxiety's not at all an issue for you. That's fine. You've probably got some dragons, though, so let's figure out what they are. But maybe it'll help somebody else, and that's all I want to do is be helpful, inspire growth and greatness and personal excellence in everybody that takes the time to listen to this. I'm having a blast with this. 21 episodes in. That's awesome. I read some podcast stats today that talked about how I think 50% of the podcasts that exist in the world only put out 3 episodes, and that's it. They just die. So I am in the top 50% already of podcasters out there. And I'm having fun with it. I'm still getting some good feedback, still working on some guests, still conjuring up some more topics. I got another book breakdown coming very soon with a little, I don't know if contest is the right word. It's not a contest, but I'm giveaway. I have the next book that I do, I'm pretty sure is going to be Extreme Ownership by Jocko Willink. One of my favorite books. It is my most gifted book, or one of my top 3 most gifted books. I love that book. It's a leadership book. I really enjoy it. So we're going to, Jocko Willink and Leif Babin. I never say Leif, but he wrote half of it too. So him and Jocko wrote this book. So I have a extra autograph copy it's autographed by Leif and Jocko. I did not, I put up a picture on social media the other day of an autograph copy that I personally had, I met Jocko and had him sign it. Super cool experience. It was a great experience. I'm glad I did it. A buddy of mine talked me into going. I didn't want to go, but he talked me into it and I went. I'm super glad that I went, and he autographed a couple of books for me and we talked for a minute. He's a super cool guy. He appears to be who he says he is, and that's awesome to meet somebody like that. So anyway, I have an extra autograph copy kicking around. So what I'm going to do when that episode comes out is I'm going to ask people to share the show and tag me in it somehow, either on Instagram or Facebook, and use the hashtag commitment to excellence. Everybody who does that, I'm going to put their name in a hat, and I'm going to pull out a name, and I'm going to send, I'll reach out to you, get your mail and address, and I'm going to send you a copy of that book. It's not a big deal. It's, you know, it's not the most, it's not like a gold bar or anything like that, but it's kind of cool, and I spent some money on it. So I'm going to give that as a gift to somebody who shares the show, just a thank you for helping spread the message and get the word out. I super appreciate it. I've seen a lot of people doing that. I really appreciate it. It means a lot to me. So that's coming up in the next week or two, probably. So yeah, I think that's all I have to say today. So I want to thank you as always. If you made it to the end, and why wouldn't you, if you started listening, right? If you made it to the end, it is my sincere hope that you are in the midst of making today a great day. Go out there and find a dragon and conquer it. All right, till next time.